Before I get into this episode, I would like to thank all the artists and designers who graciously shared their stories with us on this podcast. Thank you to all subscribers and listeners who made this all worth it. I hope that this podcast will continue to be a safe space for visual artists and designers to come and share their stories and learn from each other. This is the final episode of season one, end of 2022. Please continue to give me feedback and any ideas you may have to improve the podcast on Instagram at uncurated.podcast. You can always DM me and I'll always reply. Enjoy this episode. Merry Christmas and have a happy new year. Hi, and welcome to Uncurated Podcast, a platform for visual artists and designers to share their experiences and learn from each other. I'm your host, Kelly. I'm really excited about today's episode because I get to talk about something that brings me a lot of joy, and that's going to gallery exhibitions. From January 2022 to September, I have gone to quite a bit of exhibitions. And on this episode, I'm going to talk about just 9 exhibitions that I've gone to within those 9 months. I promise to talk about art and my experience in the most relatable way possible. You don't need to be an art scholar or historian to experience an art exhibition. By the end of this episode, I want you to feel like you can have a unique and fun experience at an art exhibition or an art gallery. If you'd like to see the videos from my exhibition, I have posted reels of the exhibition on my Instagram at sheiskelly. So in January, I was at Circle Art Gallery at an exhibition that ran from January 26th to Feb 26th. The title was A Retrospective of 3 Artists, Teresa Musoke, Tabitha Wathuku, and Yoni Waite. So first of all, let's define what a retrospective is. Looking back on or dealing with past events or situations. So basically, this exhibition was looking back at the success and all the contributions that these 3 ladies had in the art scene in East Africa. So I personally was more keen on doing more research on the 3 artists when I read the description for the arts exhibition. So I was like, I'm going to take a step back from looking at the art and I'm going to research on each and every one of these artists and see their path, like from the beginning, where did they start? Where did they study? Are they self-taught? Or did they travel abroad to go and get the education they needed to be as successful as they are in East Africa? So for example, Teresa Musoke is, and I'm honestly hoping that I am pronouncing that correctly. Teresa is a Kenyan-Ugandan painter best known for portraying wildlife. She won the Margaret Trowell Painting Prize in 1965 and received a solo show at the Ugandan Museum. Honestly, I can't even fathom being an artist in 1965. Like, we complain how hard it is to make it in the art industry in 2022, but think about how it would have been in 1965. Like, that's actually crazy. She even won a scholarship to study at the Royal College of Art in London, and she also taught in universities in Kenya and Uganda while exhibiting all over the world. Tabitha Wathuku, she's a self-taught artist, honestly. And she started creating and exhibiting art from 1988. Like, these ladies are like real, real pioneers. And for me, I think I was just looking at how good and how detailed their work was. And I'm trying to think like backwards to where they came from and the work that they had to put in so that they can be this successful and this influential in East Africa. So I highly recommend that you go and research about them and find out more about them and check out their work because it's really, really inspiring. In February, I was at Tira Studios. So from Feb 5th to March 5th, there was an exhibition called All My Venus Days by an artist called Wambwe Kamiru. The event was organized by Goethe Institute. And for me, throughout the year, I can say this was the best exhibition I ever went to in 2022 so far. Because it was so engaging, mostly because it's an installation. So Wamboi, I have known her work since, I guess I was in like first year in uni, and she's known for her installations. So for this one in particular, it's an installation about the processing of grief. So I'm sure if you know her, you probably know Bob Colimo. And basically this exhibition, or rather installation, was her letting us in into how she processed grief and how she processed the emotions that she felt when she watched her late husband get sick and pass away. And she opened up the space for everyone else who was experiencing grief or has experienced grief to also take part in the installation. So it was just so amazing, because when I went there, I went with a friend of mine who had also experienced grief, and we both just sat there watching Wamboi embroider poems on Bob Colimo's shirt, and we just started talking about grief and loss, and we felt so connected while watching someone else process their emotions. So for me, that's like the power of art. Like, it just brings people from different worlds together. It makes you feel your feelings. And it was just incredible. Like, I felt like I was in a safe space, and yet I had never been in that space before because of how raw and how well put together the exhibition was. So, like, for example, I had no idea that Bob Colimo was passionate about music, and he used to play the saxophone. So Wamboi drew musical notes on the prescription that he was given, the prescriptions that he was being given with watercolor. And I was like, that's just insane. Like, how you can bring something so sorrowful and something so beautiful together to tell a story. So for me, I definitely enjoyed this one. And the best part was, she was there the whole time. You could ask her questions and she would respond and she would engage with you. So it was really, really fun. In March, I was at Nairobi Contemporary Art Institute. Though the exhibition started in January 14th to March 30th, I went in March. That was around my birthday week. So I guess I was treating myself to an exhibition or something. The exhibition was titled Sein Wadu, I Hope So. So Sein Wadu is the artist. And it was a really interesting exhibition because I have to confess, I have never heard of Sein Wadu, and apparently he's a big deal in Kenya. And yeah, I guess it's a first time for everything. So it was looking back on 3 decades of his work. He started painting in 1984. I mean, I don't even know what we complain about these days. If people are making it big in 1988 and 1984, I mean, I don't know. This is just mind-blowing. As a self-taught artist, to add on that, I enjoyed seeing the evolution of his work and how he chose to tell stories in each decade. So from 1984 until now, I could definitely tell his progress and how he evolved as an artist just by looking at his work. So a bit of backstory on his name, Sein, is that back in the day when he chose to become an artist, people started calling him insane. So he decided, like, he made a conscious decision to call himself Sein to rebel. And that was the beginning of his literal rebellion. Because he doesn't follow any conventional rules when it comes to art. And he just does whatever he feels like and what feels right for his work. He's known even for, like, signing his work, like, the wrong way. And he still sells. It's, like, part of his brand. Some of the common topics he addresses in his work is religion, spirituality, gender, and politics within the Kenyan society. So because I have that context, I usually look at his work looking for those themes. But you don't necessarily have to have context of an artist or an artwork to experience the art. You can just look at the art and decipher what you see and what you feel when you look at the art. So I hope so. For me, I guess, was him hoping for a better future as he questions the current state of life at the moment. So, yeah. And around April, end of March, early April, I was back at Sakola Art Gallery at another exhibition that was running from March 16th to April 14th. It was called Systems of Emptiness. This was another installation by two artists called Shabu Mwangi and Ngugi Waweru from the Wajuku Collective. Let me just tell you about Wajuku Art Center, because these guys are doing an amazing job. It's a registered community-based organization located in Mukuru slums in Nairobi. And the goal for the center is to make Mukuru a place where a child could thrive and create employment through the production and sale of quality work, quality art work. So it's a center that trains young kids how to make quality artwork and they earn a living from it, which is so admirable. And for me, just elevated the experience because I knew that these guys are doing work that's just beyond themselves. They're giving back to the community. So the two artists were attempting to convey the disconnect and the trauma caused by the Western world erasing our traditional African education and imposing the foreign systems. Now we are a society that doesn't really understand where we come from and who we are, hence systems of emptiness. So the exhibition, which was an installation of some architectural pieces, was trying to tackle the topic of emptiness, systems of emptiness, our education system, which we obviously know we got from the British, and some of us don't even know some traditional African systems of education that we used to have before we were colonized. I guess some people would say that it would not be relevant, but for some people, they want to know where they came from. They want to know why their grandmothers stick to some rules instead of evolving and copying the Western world the way as we do. Because as we are so westernized that we don't really know where some of our traditions even come from. So that's what the exhibition was about. And as I observed and experienced the installations, like for example, there was one where at the entrance there was like a black curtain that you had to walk through. It was dark, so you couldn't see anything, but you could hear like the sound of a busy Nairobi. So you just, as you walk in into the exhibition, you're just listening to the sounds of like matatu na makanga aki ingiza watu kwa gari and everything, and people selling on the streets. So that was definitely like an audio experience. Then you walk out of the curtain, and then there you see the architectural pieces and the oversharpened knives. And there was a wooden carving that looked like a person. And then at the bottom, there was like barbed wire, kind of like restricting movement. And at the top, there was the skeleton of an umbrella made out of wood. So for me, I was like, okay, could this like represent us, the youth, being held back by our westernized form of education and assuming that it's like a cover or an umbrella for us to pretend like we're doing okay, and yet we are out of touch with who we are. So I felt very validated, because I personally love to read about pre-colonial Kenya and how it used to be and why we do the things that we do, like what makes us African. So yeah, that was my experience in Systems of Emptiness. Around May, I was back at Sakolat Gallery. Let's just say Sakolat Gallery was the closest gallery to where I was living at the time. So nilikuwa nazienda like every month, every time they had like a new exhibition, nilikuwa tu hapo because it was close. So we're back at Sakolat Gallery again for another exhibition that was running from May 11th to June 11th. It was called Fictions. It was a group exhibition of 11 artists, and this group invites the viewer to consider possible relationships between one work and the next. The idea is to challenge you to think how the art piece that you've seen before can help you understand and experience the next one. I enjoyed trying to figure out the relationship between artists and artworks and going back and forth. And for me, I was looking for maybe like techniques, maybe if this artist was using watercolor, maybe the next person was using watercolor in a different way, or maybe the way one artist was trying to tell a story or how they used like a specific material. And then I checked the next artwork because the way they were displayed, it wasn't like one artist altogether. It was like a mix and match of all the 11 artists. So I guess you could look at one art piece and try to see the story that the artist is trying to tell, the type of material they've used, and maybe like the angle or the perspective they're using, and then move to the next one and see how that previous art piece you've seen relates with this one. And it was like an interesting exercise. My favorite piece was by an artist from Ethiopia called Tiema Tegene. I hope I did not botch that name. The art piece was called My Love, Trust Me, I'm Trying. It was a man seated holding a yellow flower. And the flower stood out to me because the man was drawn with a dark color that seemed black. And the flower was yellow. It was very bright. And the look on the guy's face was just like a look of sadness. And then there's just this yellow flower that's popping out from the canvas. So it was almost like he was trying to hold on to the little hope that he had left to overcome the dark times he was experiencing. So I don't know. I related at that moment. Yeah. So that was my favorite piece. I really enjoyed that one. Around May towards June, I was at Roselyn Riviera for an assorted collection art show by Patrick Kinuthia. So this ran from May 28th to June 20th. So funny thing about Patrick Kinuthia, I interviewed him when I was in my first year of uni, and I even made a presentation about him and his artwork. And it was like a full circle moment for me because at that studio where he was displaying his work is a shop for his artwork and also his own personal studio. So I got to see his studio and where he works, and it was really fun. So yeah, Patrick Kinuthia is known for his portraiture, his work painting market scenes, streets of Lamu and Malindi, landscapes, and he also mentioned back in the day when I interviewed him that all the colors that he uses in his artwork, they represent an emotion that he's trying to convey, either about the person he's painting or the experience or the emotions that he had while he was maybe viewing this market scene. Yeah, because his work is very, like, it has a lot of color in it. So that's what he emphasized. He said that the color that he uses definitely have a purpose, and they convey the emotions that he is experiencing or that that other person was giving him. So yeah. And around June, I was at Waterfront. This is a new gallery I have never been to. It's called Usani Mashariki Gallery at Waterfront. So it was around June 1st to June 30th. So the month of June, they were exhibiting a show called Breaking the Bias. It was like an all-female exhibition with over 49 different female artists exhibiting at the space. So for me, I was like, new space, who this? And it was really beautiful. Like, they have a really nice space. It's actually quite big. And they even had a live band performing as we were looking at the art, which was kind of cool. And it was a really fun experience. It elevated the whole thing. Something else that really made the exhibition amazing was I got to have a conversation with my friend, and it was prompted by a risque art piece. And I think art is best enjoyed with company. From my experience, I think I've had a much more enlightened or a much more fun experience when I either went for the gallery, for the exhibition opening, or I had a friend at the exhibition. But that doesn't mean I'm always with someone. Most of the time, I also like going by myself. But anyway, I digress. So something cool that happened was I was with this friend of mine, and he saw this art piece of a nude lady who was lying on the ground, and she had a scar on her belly. So he was like, I don't like this art piece. And I was like, why don't you like this art piece? And he's like, oh, it's showing too much. And I pointed at the scar and I was like, do you know what this is? And he said, I don't know what this is. The scar was a C-section scar. So we started talking about C-section and women giving birth and the gap in the knowledge of the female experience when it comes to giving birth and surgeries. So it was just like a really nice moment where we could have such a discussion in such an open space and it not be awkward. So that's like the power of art. It just influences people to get out of their comfort zone and talk about things that they would not necessarily be able to sit down and have like a conversation about it. So it would have been like so weird if I just sat him down and started talking about C-sections and giving birth. But because we saw something that triggered a negative emotion in him and he decided to speak up about it, I drew his attention to something he hadn't seen, because he was busy feeling uncomfortable looking at the nude woman. And to me, I saw the vulnerability and the strength of this woman showing her scars and being open to speak about an experience that she had. So that's the power of art. And that's why I love art. It just brings out those conversations that you can't have when, you know, it just feels weird. It makes things flow. Yeah, so that was my June. And I took a break in July and August. So, yeah, we're going to go straight to September. And on September, I was in Village Market at an exhibition organized by Tewa's Art Gallery called Pink Flame. The exhibition was running from September 17th to September 27th, although it was extended for a few days. But this was a really, really exciting experience for me because I went for the opening and so many of the artists were there, and I was able to network and I was able to make new friends. And I even had this artist who I had the opportunity to see like the art piece before it was exhibited. Like, she was showing me photos of her step by step of how she got from a blank canvas to all the way to the art piece that was on the wall, and it was such a fun experience. Like, everyone was so energetic. Everyone was just vibing. There was good music. The art was amazing. And it was an all-female exhibition. So all the artists who were exhibiting were female. But the themes that were in some of the artworks, like, you couldn't really tell if it's like a female artist or a male artist, because everyone was just speaking from the heart when it came to the art piece. Like, there was so much display of skill and technique and use of such interesting materials like embroidery on the canvas and interesting use of colors and paper collage, and it was just so much fun, and it was well put together, because from the beginning you can just flow. It's like each artwork was like feeding the next in terms of like storytelling, and I really had fun. I mostly just had fun because of the community and the vibes, and I guess that's also another point. When you go to an art exhibition, it's mostly about the art and about the artist, but it can also be about the community around the art, like the vibes people are bringing into the exhibition. Like, are the artists willing to engage with you? Can they be asked questions? Can they give context to the art piece? And that also elevates the experience. So on this one, I mostly had a good time because of the energy in the room. And I also went back again later when I was in Village Market just to look at the artworks and to see which ones sold and which ones are still up. So yeah, if you're not going for the art, go for the vibes. Also in September, I went to a solo exhibition in Alliance Francaise by Jimmy Kidheka titled Light and Blue Silence. The exhibition ran from September 7th to September 30th, although it's been extended to October 23rd. So if you haven't seen it, please go to Alliance. It's literally right at the entrance. You'll just see all his work. If I'm being honest, the main reason why I love Jimmy's work is because his art is a form of escapism for me. His work looks like visions from the past that bring a sense of nostalgia. His work is inspired by stories he was told by his grandfather of Nairobi in the 60s and in the 70s. So basically, based on his art style and even his color palette, they almost look like dreams and memories. So when I look at his artwork, I'm basically just imagining myself in that situation and thinking, what would I be feeling? What would I be doing if I was this person, if I was looking at this person, if I was in that scene? So that's how I feel like his work relates in terms of being a form of escapism. So I tend to like look at the story he's trying to tell and try to fit myself into that story. And in the process, I just get lost in his artwork. And that's why I enjoy them so much. And those are the 9 exhibitions that I went to within 9 months. I hope you enjoyed and felt more inclined to visit an art exhibition or attend the next exhibition. If you would like to know when an art exhibition is coming up, follow our Instagram page at uncurated.podcast for updates. Let me know what your experiences were at an art gallery or at an art exhibition on Instagram at uncurated.podcast, or leave me a voice note if you listen to this podcast on Spotify at uncuratedpodcast. Thank you for listening. Like, subscribe, and rate this podcast on whatever platform that you use to listen to podcasts. And I have been your host, Kelly. Thank you for listening.